Thanks for joining us today. I am super thrilled to be sitting here with a good friend of mine and a colleague from way back, Ryan Groom, who was kind enough to come and sit with us and talk a little bit about some of the amazing stuff he's doing with online video and particularly with Azure Media Services. So for folks that don't know you, Ryan, maybe you could give us a little bit of background on yourself and what you're doing.
Sure. I've been working on the Microsoft platform for a long time. I was a Microsoft partner back as 2002.
Yep.
Exited that in 2004 and sort of went my merry way, and now I've sort of come back. I do a small TV show, so video is in my blood, and it just matches nice with Azure Media Services. So in the summertime, I film, and in the wintertime, I edit and also do coding projects against Azure Media Services.
So tell us a little bit about your show. What do you do?
Well, it's called Trek It. It's about getting computer people, office people off their rear end and out to do a little bit of adventuring.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
We're all out of shape, and we pretend to be we pretend to be Indiana Jones, like we've done the Knife's Edge in Mount Katahdin.
Wow!
So we've got a guy that goes across the Knife's Edge. It gets to 3 meters wide. It's 1,000 feet drop on either side.
You're kidding.
And I'm sitting there holding. I'm crying on the side. I don't want to go any farther. But there's, you know, guys that have done it, and like, come on, Ryan. So wait, you know, it's not like I'm an adventurer, but I want to be. So we've done that. We've headed to the UK. We went to the Isle of Skye, out where there's more sheep than people. It was fantastic.
Amazing.
And even last summer, there was 4 of us that went to Iceland. And instead of just doing the golden circle that most people do,
yeah,
we did the whole island. We went to places that is magnificent. There was no people. We set up the cameras and had a good time. So I come back, I edit it all on my Windows PC. I mean, most people, you know, come back, do all their editing on a Mac, but we do it all on Adobe Creative Cloud.
Okay.
On my big Windows 8 box. And then all my video encoding is done in Azure Media Services.
So how did you come about to use Azure Media Services? Was it because you were kind of used to the Microsoft way of doing things, or?
No, we were looking at a way to deliver multiple video types to multiple devices.
Okay.
I do live streaming for a local telco.
Okay.
And we were just doing smooth streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But as the world's changing, more devices need HLS, the new ones want Dash, and we still have the smooth streaming component. And we didn't want to give 3 different signals and have to encode it 3 times. The PCs were overwhelmed. So
right.
I was looking at the live services. And luckily, I was on the preview, which has gone finally live this fall.
Yes.
But we've built a service where we can take one ingestion and actually spit out HLS, spit out smooth streaming, and spit out Dash all at the same time. So we've got, you know, iOS devices,
mm-hmm,
right? But we still consume Windows 8 apps or the set-top box. Right? And Dash, a lot of the new JavaScript video players use,
yeah,
Dash. So like Chrome and the new IE can consume that. But I don't have to bring in 3 signals and worry about the quality of 3 signals. I bring in 1 and I can spit it out in all those different formats.
That's amazing. So this must have been a journey for you, learning about not just how to film a TV show and how to produce the content, but how to actually work with a cloud-based provider like Azure for doing media. What are some of the things that surprised you about that?
I mean, to go way back, I've been responsible for a server since 1991.
Okay.
In some form of another, I've had servers or banks of servers or managed servers for customers.
Yep.
And just last week, I shut down my final server I'm responsible for. So it's been a big transition. I mean, I'm a megalomaniac. I like to control things.
Okay.
And to be able to give up seeing a server, installing,
sure,
it, be able to configure it,
yeah,
and that go to the cloud, for me, this gray hair is a big step.
Wonderful.
So it was a journey because it's the trust factor.
Okay.
Right? It's the trust that it's going to be, I'm going to have enough internet connectivity to,
yeah,
the cloud, that it's going to have the uptime, it's going to have the redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was building server infrastructures, I made sure, like when we did SQL, we had mirroring. Sometimes we had, you know, mirrors of mirrors.
Sure.
You know, we had lots of load balancing. And when things went wrong, we could troubleshoot them because we could touch the wire.
Sure, you could shake it.
So it was a hard call. But once the Azure tools start bubbling into Visual Studio more,
mm-hmm,
where I could build a website or build a service and be able to publish it from Visual Studio into the service and then be able to connect to that, then the light bulbs start coming on. Well, this is a very interesting workflow. Now on Saturday, when I want to relax, I don't get to worry so much that the servers have gone down. And being in New Brunswick, I didn't have a lot of our server firms were in Montreal or Ottawa or Toronto, different,
right,
times of my career. And sometimes really bad things would happen. And those service providers couldn't fix the issue. And I'd be driving with a buddy of mine to those locations to fix things with new equipment, maybe a new server, maybe a new switch, maybe a new firewall. And I don't have to do that anymore.
Neat.
You know, I'm going on vacation after this conversation, and all I have to do is give a friend of mine authorization to my Azure account, and I trust this guy a lot.
Sure, you would hope.
You know, but now he doesn't have to have keys. He doesn't have to have passcodes, right? He now has access to my Azure infrastructure, and he understands what we've built, and it's exciting times. It's sort of freeing. It's like, you know, the dog collars come off from the server farm, and now I can be anywhere. When we were in Iceland, we had a slight little problem for a customer.
Yeah.
Right? So we had internet access. I'm on my Azure account. We fixed it up, and the way we went. It was really cool.
That's amazing. That's really cool. So, you know, as you started to learn about using Azure Media Services, were there any things that surprised you about it? Things you didn't expect about it?
Yeah, the encoder. I didn't expect to have a method to bring in large files and encode them into different formats. The indexing service was real surprising. So to do closed captioning now, I'd love to hook that up to a Bing translator. I mean, it may not be the greatest, but it's better than nothing.
Sure.
I mean, I don't have French, Spanish, Chinese, all those people on staff.
Yeah.
But for a community channel, maybe that's good enough. I don't know. So we're experimenting with that. The uptime, because the servers aren't in Canada,
yeah.
There's such a great connection from where the data says we use US East and East 2 mainly.
Okay.
And there's a great connection into the Canadian infrastructure.
Yeah.
So I was worried about that because sometimes we'll have up to 10 to 20, sometimes 50,000 simultaneous users on our live events.
Wow.
Right? And the pre-roll comes right off Azure Media Services, right on the streaming media unit because it's a 200 megabit circuit.
Yeah.
I was wondering, is that going to get saturated?
Yeah.
You know, how many VMs do I need
to...
Because that's a website that's being hit as well, right?
Sure.
So we've got a website being hit, we've got Azure Media Services being hit, and we also have blob storage because all the graphics are custom uploaded, like for the banners and the ads, come from blob storage. Can it handle it?
Yeah.
And it's been very interesting. And what's really funny, this summer I was switching a system over, and I made a mistake in my caching algorithm. Well, the site was slow. Like, oh no, is Azure down, and what's wrong? You know, you always blame it on somebody else, right? Well, it was a problem in my code, but you know what saved me? I could go in and scale it up while I fixed the problem. So the scale, you know, sort of, you know, made it a little bit better, like a salve on a wound. While I was going, then I could scale it back down.
And
not cost me a fortune. But it only cost me those servers for a day, right?
So it was so scale on demand seems to be a big part of this as well.
Oh, it's huge because when you put a new app out, you don't know.
You really
don't know the scale. You can load test it, whatever. Until you get real people, we launched a service in 2007 with CBC. And I remember going, do we have enough servers?
Right.
You know, for that day that CBC launches us on TV and does an ad, are we going to get crushed?
Right.
Because we didn't know.
Yeah.
But now when I launch stuff, I sit there, I watch the performance monitor, I see what my response time is, and I can scale it up and down as I need to. And that saves a lot of money and a lot of heartache.
That's amazing. And are there things that, you know, so this seems to have given you a lot of opportunity to innovate in terms of how you're delivering content and with your show. Are there things that you want to do as a next step with Azure that are really exciting for you?
Yeah, it's to build some video portals
to
really build more new live services. Looking at a company, they have some technology from Germany. So in order to send a live stream, be able to use a web page. So the web page has a plugin
that
hooks to the camera, but we can configure it all in the back end. So they don't have to use a complex application on the front end and have all the settings right. All they have to do is log in, put when they want to stream, make sure they can see the camera, and we can set all the details up in the back end and stream that to Azure.
So it sounds like it allows you to actually get even more removed from the production of content. And handle it where and when you can.
But for sure, we can have up to 8 to 10 live events simultaneously with the live streaming we do now.
That's fantastic.
Right? So you think of the support. And you know when all that live streaming is? Friday night, Saturday,
and
Sunday. And that's when I don't want it to break because I want to have my weekend.
Absolutely.
Right? So we need to build this robust so I don't have to sit there and put my fingers in dikes to make sure it works. I want to be able to go away on vacation, have a weekend with my buddies and my family, and just know it's going to work.
Brings up an interesting point. You talked a little bit about wanting to have some weekends and that. And I've known you for a long time. You have always been a great tinkerer, and you know how to write code. What did you find with the Azure Media Services? Was it largely turnkey, or did it give you an opportunity to really kind of customize your experience and your usage of the services?
Well, what I liked about it the most, it was a tool set. Okay. If it was turnkey, I think it would have had some rough edges that we couldn't smooth off. Yeah. But I really like the .NET SDK. You know, I'm still not a REST service guy. I mean, I use them when I have to, but I like the .NET SDK. I like how I can link against it, so I can do queries like what live channels are running, what events are running, because media services all exposed that way in the .NET, you know, the object model. And I really like that, so we could slice and dice the way we wanted to do it. You know, we're not running one event. Right. We're running multiple events, so we need to be able to query things and see how things are going.
Did you end up writing any tools of your own to help you produce these live streams or to manage them?
I do. I have a scheduler currently. Yep. It looks at the database of events. It turns the live streams on or the channels on at the proper times. It shuts them off. It also manages the auto archiving. So after the stream, there's a workflow where it knows it was a certain event. So it takes those URLs, puts them in the database, so we have the archive content
afterwards. That's fantastic.
You know, so people can search. We also, some of our legacy live streams that don't use Azure yet that we're migrating, produce a 2 gig MP4 file. Right now, that's now punted from the location to blob storage. Then we, on a schedule, on a web job, we bring that into Azure Media Services, kick off an encoder, and when the encoder's done, it puts that back into the database.
That's fantastic. So it sounds like these services do a lot for you. It must cost you $1 zillion to run this type of stuff.
It does, but when you take a look at the people we don't need, what it would cost in server hardware for uptime, the thing is with a live event, you can't have a problem because if you miss it by an hour, you miss the event.
Absolutely.
Right? So we need the scalability, redundancy, and it's worth what we pay for it. I mean, the most expensive part is the encoding part.
Yes.
I mean, I've run up to 20,000 viewers on an event on two medium instances.
That's fantastic.
You know, you have the right caching model in place. I mean, and then the video is all coming off Azure Media Services and all the graphics come off the CDN. You know, you don't have to kick the crap out of the two little instances that are running. So it's a good
fantastic
model.
So this is fantastic. I love hearing stories like this that really show the power of the cloud and the real applicability, not just to big, huge corporations, but to anybody who wants to use it. How, you know, if I were a developer or somebody that has an idea, a video producer, a company that has online assets that wants to get started with this, how do you get going with this type of stuff? I mean, is it a huge learning curve? Are there ways to get started that make the most sense?
For sure. I mean, you can use, because I'm a tinkerer, I like to use the .NET SDK.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can do through the dashboard.
Okay.
So you can log into the Azure account and upload an asset. So you can take an MP4 file, so take your show.
Sure.
You know, it's a 20-minute show or an hour-long show, whatever. You can punt it up to Azure. Then you can say, I want to encode it. And it has options. Do you want to code it for iOS playback or PC playback? So it's got predetermined settings.
Perfect.
And then it gives you a URL. And you can publish it. You can publish it if you want to or not. So when you want to make it public, you say publish. Then it gives you a URL. You take that URL, put it into some sort of either a Flash player or an HTML5 video player on a simple HTML page, and you've got playback.
That's wonderful.
Right? So now you take that one step further, you create a database.
Yeah.
Right? So people get a list of your shows, they click on the show, it opens up a web page, takes that URL from the database.
Sure. Punts it in there.
And you're done. You've
that's
got
fantastic.
Your site. You're now YouTube. Done.
Wow. That's fantastic.
One thing you want to do, though, if you get a lot of bandwidth on your stuff, you can hook Azure or Limelight or other CDNs to your Azure Media Services. Right? Azure does have a CDN, but if you're an Akamai customer or a Limelight customer or an Edge customer, there's ways to connect that quite easily to your Azure Media Services assets as well.
Beautiful. There's tons of providers out there in the cloud. Like, the cloud is full of people, other folks other than Microsoft with Azure, that have services to support this type of media workloads. Why would somebody want to go with Azure versus, say, something that's based on another media platform?
Well, what I like, it gives me all the different pieces I want. It gives me great storage, great elastic storage, so I can put as much video up there as I want.
Mm-hmm.
I know the security, the redundancy, the resiliency of that data. Then I have my application front end, my website stuff. So I can build the application. It sits in the same sort of spot. And then I can build my intelligence or the media services is there, is all well. So I can sit in Visual Studio and build all these layers. And then when I'm done, I go publish, and it's there. That's what I really like. I can be sitting here in a hotel room. I can be sitting in Iceland. If I want to make a tweak, I want to publish that code up. Right? I mean, all my code's in TFS on Visual Studio Online, which is backed by Azure. Right? So it's a great workflow. Being a small guy, I don't got to have a bunch of guys.
That's fantastic. Now, the one thing I kind of noticed by what you're describing is we talked a lot about, you know, TFS and .NET and this sort of stuff. I know a lot of times when I'm talking to customers for the first time about Azure, they really do think it's a Microsoft-only, you know, sandbox to play in. Has that been your experience with the Azure Media Services? Is it very much a Microsoft playground? You got to learn Microsoft programming languages and Microsoft services?
No, they have a SDK for Java.
Okay.
Actually, my WordPress blog is PHP.
Okay.
You can spin up lots of different Linux images. The media services is very API driven.
Okay.
So it's whatever language you want. You don't worry about Windows. You don't worry about Microsoft. You worry about taking a H.264 or a video asset and encoding it. Right. I mean, the default encode is for iOS. Right. It's HLS.
That's
right.
Fantastic.
That's Apple streaming protocol. Yeah. Right. Like. So it's not just for Windows 8 or Windows Phone. I mean, the defaults are for Android and iOS, so you can very easily get assets up and get them to all those mobile services.
That's fantastic. So tell me, what's next for the show? What are you planning?
Well, we've just bought plane tickets to Norway.
Wonderful.
So we're working. We've just released our first episode to Iceland. We've got 7 more to go, so you'll see us get more foolish as we get around. You know, we eat rotten shark. We have some horse on our plate.
Anthony Bourdain, eat your heart out.
Then we visit the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And then, you know, this summer we're heading to the fjords. We take our DJI Phantom, our drone.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a road trip from Oslo to Trondheim and get to the tallest fjords we can and fly the drone off to get some spectacular views.
Wow, I can't wait to see that. That's absolutely very cool. Have you got any thoughts about your future and things you'd like to do with Azure Media Services going forward?
Well, we're really going to try to simplify delivering live.
Okay.
Right? So it's much easier for people if they want to stream a live event and get the archive piece afterwards. So, because it can be recorded on the back end.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to push that and make it very turnkey, but also make it turnkey for organizations. So say you're a university and you've got 40 sports.
Yeah.
Like, how do you manage all those points? And that's what we're playing with right now. We have over 45 different encoders in the field that all could be going at the same time. So how do you manage that? It's easy to do one stream and one event.
Sure.
We're really putting a management system over top of all that and taking away the technology so people can do their job. I want to stream from 7 to 8. How do I do that? Tick, 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 and they can go. So we're really trying to bring the user friendliness into people to self-broadcast or broadcast. You know, events like baseball, hockey, we've done volleyball. I was involved in broadcasting the Canada Games on the web in 2011, 2013.
That's fantastic.
We had over 400,000 viewers per event, for the 2 weeks. So it's been real fun.
Excellent. If somebody wants to reach out to you and contact you about the work you're doing, what your company does, or even just to chat a little bit and share their experiences, how would they do that?
Well, my email is Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at ryangroom.com.
Beautiful.
Or on Twitter at ryangroom. That's that easy.
Wonderful. Well, Ryan, hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate you taking the time. Ryan is based in Atlanta, Canada, and he was gracious enough to come down to Moncton, New Brunswick today to sit and chat with me. And, you know, cut his way through the massive amounts of snowfall that have recently appeared. Good luck. I hope you enjoy some well-deserved time off on your trip. And thank you for joining us and watching this episode.